One thing I forgot to mention about the stretch reflexes is that when you're actively using the muscle, your body automatically adjusts the sensitivity of the muscle spindles or those receptors so that as the muscles are flexed, it's going to adjust for that in terms of how sensitive those spindles are in maintaining your posture and so on. Another type of reflex that I want to talk about are the polysynaptic reflexes. And some examples of these are, of course, polysynaptic. It means there are interneurons involved. These are reflexes that are going to usually also communicate with the brain. I did forget to mention that with the stretch reflexes, it's for the most part, it's your spinal cord that's making these decisions in terms of whether to flex the muscles some more or not. Your brain is not even aware of this. Polysynaptic reflexes, on the other hand, do communicate with the brain. There's interneurons that are going to bring information to the brain. Not from the brain, however. Again, it's going to be the spinal cord that's making these decisions, so to speak, about what to do. And one example is a withdrawal reflex. And the reflex arc that we were looking at earlier, the picture, was a good example of that. It's a polysynaptic reflex. It's usually withdrawal from a powerful stimuli, usually something painful or something that might potentially cause damage to the body. And so it's withdrawal from something that could be damaging. And it's an example of a flexor reflex. And what it does is it's a type of withdrawal reflex that will cause muscles to flex and move the limb away from whatever it is that's causing the damage. Other examples of flexor reflexes are going to be some of the reflexes involved with posture, standing, walking, running, etc. Finally, the crossed extensor reflex is, there's a picture of it in your text, and it's called the crossed reflexor reflex. And this has to do with the situation where you're going to have a withdrawal reflex, but you're also standing up at the same time. And if you take a look at the nerves involved, you can see that instead of everything happening on one side of the spinal cord like it is with the normal flexor reflex, it's going to involve both sides of the spinal cord. Because what happens is one side of the spinal cord is controlling one leg and the other side of the spinal cord is controlling the other leg. And let's say you step on a tack or something painful and you need to quickly move your leg. Well, you can't quickly move your leg without bracing the other leg to support your weight. Otherwise, you're going to end up falling on the floor. And so that's why the crossed extensor reflex is so complicated, because it has to send information over to the other leg, telling that leg to kind of stiffen up and be ready to bear the sudden shift of weight.